Blog Talk Radio.
Evening Prayer by Arthur Rimbaud. I spend my life sitting, like an angel in a barber's chair, holding a beer mug with deep-cut designs, my neck and gut both bent, while in the air, a weightless veil of pipe smoke hangs, like steaming dung within an old dovecote. A thousand dreams within me softly burn. From time to time, my heart is like some oak whose blood runs golden where a branch is torn. And then, when I have swallowed down my dreams in 30, 40 mugs of beer, I turn to satisfy a need I can't ignore. And like the Lord of Hyssop and Myrrh, I piss into the skies, a soaring stream that consecrates a patch of flowering fern.
Welcome to In Our Craft, or Solemn Art. I am your host, Richard Weissman. And that was Arthur Rimbaud's poem. That was let me get my notes here. I think I'd be prepared, but not so much. That was a real short poem of his, which was hard to find short poems of his, but it was, I'm going to have to get it later. I don't want to hold up the show. Anyway, beautiful. I thought the contrast between dark lyricism and the kind of beautiful piano was a nice way to open. And with that, I want to bring my host on, my co-host on. There she is.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, Neutron. Good to have you back.
Yes, good to be back too. Definitely.
Yeah, you were sorely missed. We did okay without you. You know, it's not like not like the show fell apart, but there's a certain chemistry that you and I have that was definitely missed.
Agreed.
And plus, it's just good, you know, keeping in touch every couple of weeks as we do.
It is. And you kind of develop that friendship like online and offline. And I look forward to these fortnightly shows. Definitely.
Yeah, me too. So what'd you think of that open?
I thought it was hauntingly beautiful. And when it's talking about the golden sap tree, there was, and just the imagery in general, it had this mindful quality until he sank 30 to 40 beers. Then I think it possibly would have got a little bit messier, you know?
Right, and the whole pissing thing, you know, and the beautiful music. It was just, I thought it was a great kind of irony to it. And it was tough to find something that was short too. Like most of his poems are really long, A Season in Hell, and even The Drunken Boat, which is not like a really long poem. It's a little long for our show. So I thought that was a nice way to start us off.
I think classics generally seem to have more word count anyway, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I know. It's a weird thing. We do real short poetry. I think in all poetry in general, but especially on the radio. So it distorts the picture of what poetry is, because, you know, a good amount of it is, I would say, I don't know, maybe 1,000 words or more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't work for the radio especially. Anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So I know we have a full board, and I don't want to end up with a huge carryover list. So I know that I believe you had a plan to start us off.
Yeah, well, I'm actually thinking we do a couple of the Rimbo, then we jump over to the carryovers and then continue on. Yeah. So I'll load the first one, and it's by Spectrum DN. And if you want to give it a read, Richard, that would be great.
Sure. Okay, yeah. This is by Spectrum DN. It's called The Coup of Murder Pigeon. I recall dreams in my mother's tomb as faint drummings began to boom. Two orphaned hearts on cobblestones of childless mother and stillborn, swaddled tightly in each other's arms, woke up inside, a womb in fright, to loops of voiceless hallelujahs, to loops of faithless hallelujahs. From the chalice lips, Eucharist came, sprayed on split tongues like spittled rain, snuffing oil lamps with their breaths to comb down the cowlicks of the dead. Dreams strum the strings of high-pitched lyres, while dear Hantina endlessly played. The night was a garden of lidless eyes. The night was a garden of mindless eyes. Cenotaph echoes, absentee dust motes, leaves a burden body and floats in coffin-like nightmare of graves as growth pain adds inches to posthumous legs. The wind is the mind of pitchforked shadows and hats, the magic tricks of rabbit holes. Hey, Threnodist. Clear your pipes. The Lord is here, holding a sheet of music. Ah, hallelujah. End of poem. All right. So, what'd you think, Neutron?
I was particularly impressed with this. I must say, in general, the poet certainly delivered tonight, inspired by the French classical poets. And with this one in particular, I was drawn to From the Chalice Lips, Eucharist Came, Sprayed on Split Tongues Like Spittled Rain, Snuffing Oil Lamps with Their Breaths to Comb Down the Cowlicks of the Dead. It was just marvelous from start to end. And it had this lilting lyricism, which became acutely aware during your read. That was not without strong imagery and hit to the bones. My favorite part, though, was woke up inside a womb in fright to loops of voiceless hallelujahs, to loops of faithless hallelujahs. It had an ephemeral quality to it and salted the earth, in my opinion, a very clever piece.
Absolutely, yeah. And I, too, thought it was a brilliant piece. Mind-bending imagery made even more haunting and surreal with compelling lyricism. And I see that we have another poet that wrote for our contest that received a well-deserved front page pick. So always a good sign and a wonderful way to start us off. Real strong poetry, a great offering. And with that, I guess we're ready for our next one.
Excellent. Now, the next one is by Jim Bellamy, and it's called As Witches Crack. Oh, once an apple tree may die, then endless empires will bob for eyes, dreaming of scarecrow vision, and a seizing sullen All Hallows wife imprisons men in lost ghostly cries. Birds shake, then scratches teeter inside night's ghoul thrill, and I am bled from death's hill, and false ghoul towns thrall, for bad diamonds as witches crack, and backsides rip inside clapped floating venal trick-or-treat. Me and Madam Naples have been filling toffees with veins. Oh, me and Master Navels have been filling naked pumpkin rain. And as raining rivers wrap mummies and cold cave coasts crash, the dopey dreamt dead women and babies cradled scam and shut. End poem.
Wow. Another just amazing piece. So I think that Rimbaud is totally within Jim's natural wheelhouse and a superb tribute without any shades or shadows of mimicry. Wonderful alliterations, wordplay, surrealistic pillows to lull us into macabre awakenings. And as our reader, Neutron, what'd you think?
I was very impressed with this poem. I was drawn to this section here, and as raining rivers wrap mummies and cold caves crash, the doppy dreamt dead women and babies cradled scam and shut. Firstly, I'm drawn to the alliteration, and it was just a pleasure to read, really. It really flowed off the tongue, and it was in the vein of Rimbaud, but as you said, there was no sense of mimicry. And I was impressed with the rhyming scheme and the tone of the piece in particular. It had a classic feel and dark intonations and a great write to the prompt, "I've swallowed a terrific mouthful of poison." Excellent work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something in one of the quotes about witches, too. Where was that? Oh, yeah, prompt 4. "Oh, witches, oh, misery. Oh, hatred, my treasure's been turned over to you from a season in hell," which, my gosh, what an amazing poem that is. And that's a long poem, but well worth the read. And the nice thing about it is on YouTube, they have, some people, some actors reading the whole, like, half-hour poem. So,
oh, wow.
Way to spend a half hour. Yeah, pretty impressive. Yeah, and just another just dynamite piece, and at the risk of saying what we say most times, everyone really just stepped up their game for this one, and so it's wonderful. It's interesting because it's just a dialogue, so we both looked at this huge board and we were like, oh no. But it's it seems like it's just you and I commenting, so we'll probably do okay with that.
No, we're just going to be careful not to turn and burn instead.
Right, I know. Isn't that weird? It's like one or the other. And I will say, so obviously you were out sick 2 weeks ago, but what we did was we did Baudelaire, and so that's like another 19th century French poet. And same size board, maybe 20 poems. It was me and Babbler was my co-host, guest co-host, and Laurent.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, real in-depth comment. And so we ended up with like 6 carryovers. And so I figured, let's do something along the same track. Not to say that Baudelaire is anything like Rimbaud, but they're definitely both 19th century French poets who were kind of like revolutionary at the time, where you could say,
wow,
like English and American poetry was by contrast really passe. Nobody was writing poems with the word piss in it, for example. So okay, now I see we do have the next one on the board. Would you like me to
can give that a read by Scraps and Scribbles.
Yep. Oh, okay. Now, this was one of our carryovers inspired by Baudelaire. And we actually medaled this. It received one of the Jade Medallions. So it's quite a treat. It's called Psychopath. "I'm in love with words and forms and drugs, disgusted by the thing you think I am, lord of rats, and you're just mugs, the pieces on a board, words and a plan. You just don't understand. Don't understand. Don't understand. I just don't care. So there. I breathe beneath the mask. There is no man. Just skin and blood and teeth and words and hair. You thought I loved you. What the fuck is that? Syringe is what you are, a little prick that picks me up whenever I feel flat. Oh, you believe in love. You make me sick. Pathetic little creatures. How you try to be weak. Involved with you, I'd rather die. End of poem. And Neutron, I'll give you first word. What'd you think of this one?
You know what, like, I do pre-reading, and on the second read, like, I think the reference to the syringe is what you are, a little prick, could be taken quite literally, but it could also be talking about a person that is like a drug of addiction. And it was certainly a gritty write. There was the internal rhyme, the repetition, and the imagery was quite dark. If you take the literal meaning, there is no neg raving here. I was always told in the room, see, you're using to the end. And I believe Scraps and Scribbles has certainly delivered that. My favorite part was, I've breathed beneath the mask. There is no man, just skin and blood and teeth and words and hair. A visceral offering for the show, a real gut punch. Excellent work.
Absolutely, yeah. I am always hard pressed to determine, you know, how to place the medals, but this one definitely, any way you slice it, deserved to be medaled, in my eyes. And it's always tough, you know, where to place it, but it was well deserved. And I think I'm just looking which one he wrote to. Looking it up here. I guess it doesn't say. But anyway, here's what I will say. So unlike Rimbaud, who's writing in a much more modern free verse, in French, Baudelaire rhymes. So the idea of rhyming poetry in that context was another thing that I kind of like looked for that Baudelaire vibe, which he definitely caught. Had that tight rhymes, real kind of dark poetry, casting a cold eye on modern life, songs, illusions, just a real great offering. So, much appreciated. And with that, we're ready for our next one.
Okay, so the next poem we have is On Being, a Vignette style, and I will give this one a read. This sailor watched the winds of time, the ways they come and go, and as a child loved summertime, so little did I know on being. I watched when household storms would rage off stage, I played no part, and as I waited patiently, that tension teased my heart on being. Pieces of prospering, probably not the best, but I raised my sails for seas of change, experiencing the test on being. Springtime found me sated, so much to see that's new, elated sense with solitude extruding all my youth on being. As autumn filled up timely space, each life and death of days, rephrased the ways I'd still respond, forcing facts. No delays on being. Let's go is what I've come to know, for flowing on beyond. Let winter's wind remind my mind, 'tis time I'm not becalmed on being. End poem.
Great job there. Great read. Yeah, and that was prompt 8. As a small child, I felt in my heart two contradictory feelings, the horror of life and the ecstasy of life. in prompt 11, but the true voyagers are only those who leave just to be leaving. Hearts light like balloons. They never turn aside from their fatality, and without knowing why, they always say, let's go, from the flowers of evil. And I was really glad. You know, Joy has a very deep understanding of lyrical rhyming poetry and all, like, the full, you know, spectrum of different meters and the whole thing. She just really knows it. And so to have her write for our Baudelaire contest was wonderful, have a rhyming poet and have her forte shine in this way. And I thought she employed a great extended metaphor, and that refrain was kind of haunting, underlying the message quite well. And I'm interested to hear how you, as the reader, felt as you were reading the refrain. Did it kind of, well, I'm just going to open the door. What'd you think when you were doing that?
Look, when I do my pre-reading, it's usually just read in my head. But when you read it aloud, you really do pick up on that lyricism. And I feel like she's worked to, I'm not sure, I don't generally employ meter in the manner that Joy does, but I felt it had very similar syllables between each rhyme. So the rhyming scheme and the vignette format, it almost sets the scenes like photographs throughout life on being the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is a mindful quality to this poem which became even more acute when read aloud, and about living life on life's terms and not being afraid to take risks for one's true voyage. And my favorite part was, as autumn filled up timely space, each life and death of days rephrased the ways I'd still respond, forcing facts for no delays on being. Great choice of prompts as well that you mentioned earlier. I always have a healthy admiration for people that tackle more than one. That's for sure. I'm generally can't do it myself. I've got to be quite focused. It was cohesive and great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great piece. Okay, where would you like to go?
All right, I'll just load the next one up. So we've got Eternal Echoes by Eric Svensson, and I believe there is a SoundCloud.
Right. Okay, let me pull that one. Okay, let's see. Okay, here it comes.
Eternal Echoes. Unapologetic boldness, rugged rawness, flayed open, a piece of the sun dislodged, now circumvents the North Pole. Left hand west does not know what right hand east does. Crucified on the cross of space and time, the body sags, heavy with massive earthquake heart attack in Adana, Turkey. Unapologetic boldness, rugged rawness, weighty weariness of albatross wings, fragmented greens ticker tape, snow plows buckle, belch blue smoke, tirelessly tenacious rescue workers attack rubble to search for survivors. Unapologetic boldness, rugged rawness, to be great, be entire, of what is yours, nothing exaggerate or exclusive. Behold in each thing, put all that you are into the deeds you do, like that on each place the whole moon shines for the lives aloft. Unapologetic boldness, rugged rawness, the poet kingdom of the clouds inscribed these words 20 years ago. Birthday gift, an exquisite copy of John O'Donoghue's Eternal Echoes. Inserted bookmark is La Guadalupana, Mexico card. Tuesday, surgeons will operate on an aneurysm in the rose of Sharon's brain. A piece of dislodged sun now circumvents the North Pole. Oh, stricken planetary body, Earth heal. Left hand west, make amends with right hand east. Be no longer crucified on the cross of space and time. Heal from massive earthquake heart attack and angst-driven aneurysms. End poem.
Wow. Thank you for the SoundCloud, Eric. So the interesting thing about this one was that a couple of weeks ago, when I read it, it didn't have a SoundCloud. And SoundCloud really does create this kind of eerie vibe to it that wasn't so obvious before when I just read it as a poem. So that added more flavor for me. I thought it was a vivid and rich word painting. It reads almost like an invocation or prayer. It's very spiritual, full of healing light. Very well done. And this was one where we just literally ran out of medals. I see I added it to the finalists, but there were just so many good poems. And your thoughts on it, Neutron?
Yeah. When I was reading it, I did actually read it twice, and I thought it was quite an expansive poem in that it starts on a global level with particular reference to the earthquake heart attack, and it drills down to a singular level with a reference to the rose of Sharon's brain. I agree with you there. It does definitely have spiritual intonations and is quite reverential in its language, particularly the repetition of unapologetic boldness, rugged rawness, which in and of itself is rich in philosophical tendencies in that survival demands boldness and incites rawness, like salt in a wound, so to speak. My favorite part, I'll start off with that, was that weighty weariness of albatross wings, fragmented dreams, ticker tape, snow plows, buckle, belch, blue smoke, tirelessly, tenacious rescue workers attacked rubble to search for survivors. And I'll finish off with this. The reference to the albatross actually reminds me of the ensconced meaning of a continuing problem that makes it difficult or impossible to do or achieve something. Very well done. I can understand why you had such difficulty in judging this contest. This is quite an immense poem.
Absolutely, yeah, really amazing. I mean, in any other contest, this would have gotten the gold. So, much appreciated. Okay, and with that, we're ready for our next one.
Okay, so we have S. Sharp, the Cycle of Poetry, and there should be a SoundCloud, I believe.
Yep, okay, let me find that one.
The Cycle of Poetry. You dredge the comatose strands of life awakened by creativity, where muck and mud, blackened remnants of life, seeds of growth, of ideas along the river's edge. Sitting with feet in the flow, shoes and socks on the shore, amongst the cattails in your mind, seeds blow in circles from left to right brain and back again. Sun rays dance between swaying leaves, shine and shade, light and dark, shade and shine upon the pages of the moistened ground of life. Warm, settled seeds of thought germinate. Words grow. Leaves stem and flower, populate the lines and limbs. The fruit of ambition harvested. The cycle begins again.
What a beautiful sound cloud. I'm going to give you first word on this neutron. What'd you think?
Yeah, I was impressed with the sound cloud. Above and beyond that, I love the extended metaphor in this piece, the mud and the muck filled with nutrient until words grow leaves, stem, and flower, populating the lines and limbs, the fruit of ambition harvested. There was a cyclical nature, almost the death of words leading to succession by new poems. And the ebb and flow, the yin and yang of writing were captured superbly. I thought it was very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, great comment. And I, too, really like this piece. I thought it was a wonderful take on Baudelaire's work, compelling throughout. I especially liked On the Shore, amongst the cattails in your mind, seeds blow in circles from left to right brain and back again. Vivid imagery, great descriptions of our craft and so on. Okay, and with that, I'm turning it back to you for our next one.
Yes, certainly. So next we've got Stalina, and she also has a SoundCloud. It's funny, we have some nights where we'd be lucky to get one SoundCloud, but tonight we've been blessed with quite a few. So when you're ready.
Yeah, and this is quite a SoundCloud. So let me pull it. So this is the first one, right? Fragments. Okay. Got it.
My heart is lost. The beasts have eaten it. Piece by piece, insatiably gnawing, like sewer rats, serially salivating over fragments of fetid flesh that died and decayed long ago. Murdered by neglect, indifference, and loneliness, a trifecta terribile, who stalk shadowy chambers to sate their perpetual pangs of guttural gripes, feeding of the storm and drank of my daily descent. The hollowness within echoes now with reminiscences of what once reigned in the realms of that je ne sais quoi, once beloved muse of my meandering mind and perpetual pulsating presence which dwelt in my core. Silence, as the last sliver of soul is devoured, I become irrevocably insensate, desecrated, mutilated in a caliginous cocoon, fettered in chilled chains, deep in a dichotomous dungeon of hope and despair.
What a wonderful piece. Okay, so Neutron, I'm going to give you first word on this one. What'd you think?
Okay, so I have to admit, I did not hear the SoundCloud until just then. And I have to say that the heartbeat was quite sinister in its application in the SoundCloud. The alliteration flowed quite well, and it punctured the poem nicely, as did the heartbeat. And it did not feel overworked. Alina has this ability with word selections where she flexes but also balances with accessibility, and it's almost a dance between concrete and abstract imagery and words. My favorite part was murdered by neglect, indifference and loneliness, that trifecta terrible who stalk shadowy chambers to sate their perpetual pangs of guttural gripes, feeding off the Sturm und Drang of my daily descent. It is quite a dark offering of poetry. Selena ends it with a glimpse of hope in that sometimes we need to kill that part of us to move forward in light and love. Very nicely written.
Yeah, so this, great comment. And this one really touched me. I mean, I listened to it as I was reading it, and just the whole performance of it, it was kind of haunting, and it stayed with me. And it was one of those poems where, of course, I can like point to certain lines and say, yes, this is why I like this poem. But more than anything else, it just kind of hit me on a visceral level and stayed with me afterwards. And when that happens, I have to kind of stand up and take notice and say, this is a really special piece. And that's why I kind of felt it was our gold poem for the Baudelaire. And it was a tough choice. There were a lot of really amazing pieces, but just the fact that it stayed with me afterwards was a testament to the power of the SoundCloud and the power of the performance piece, and that she successfully brought the macabre and gothic vibe of the poem to life. I thought it was amazing. And yeah, it kind of left me speechless, but at any rate, that, you know, that's what good poetry can do. So with that, I think we're ready for our next one.
We certainly are. Now, with that concludes the carryovers from last week. So this
great
next poem is by Guilty, and it's called Demons for Rimbaud, and I'll give this one a read. They lie in my chest, beating a vicious tom, thickening my blood. I spew out bitter discourse with my blackened tongue, spurn all lovers once vengeance is done. Bruised body bloodied with mad affairs, once pomp and gay, ravaged by ash and flame. Spew conceit and blood on cobblestone streets, splattered are the tears, echoing for the nonce. End poem.
Yeah, what an first of all, great read. What an amazing poem. So it's relatively short, but it is just so powerful. He does so much in very few lines, and it really did have that Rimbaud feeling. I thought it was deliciously dark, and I feel like Rimbaud would revel in its shadow, especially the closing line, spew conceit and blood on cobblestone streets, splattered are the tears, echoing for the nonce. Just an awesome piece of poetry. And Neutron, what'd you think?
Look, I have to agree with you there. This was fantastic. It was definitely a meaty read, that's for sure. And I was drawn to the same section. I won't say it again, even though I'm a total fan of it. the need to expel that thickened blood onto the cobblestone floor like leeches, purifying our bloodstreams of the muck and disease and demons that we accumulate in life. I have to agree, a very dark offering for Rimbo is indeed, and I feel he also would be impressed. Very well done.
Absolutely. Okay, and where would you like to go next?
All right. I will actually bring up your poem next, Richard.
Okay.
So when you're ready, Fistful of Poison.
Yeah, so Rimbo has been a favorite of mine since the 80s. And back in 1993, when I wrote The Moths, I did a tribute to him, and it's called Fistful of Poison. And the actual quote from A Season in Hell is, "I've swallowed a terrific mouthful of poison." So here goes, Fistful of Poison. Transcendence of negativity, of negative and positive, a transcendence of self. Love supreme, fulfill thy will, not mine, but as it was in the beginning, ever has been, all else is bush, baby, kick it, perfect in its imperfections, everything magnets, transcendent will manifests, emanates red, dripping from God consciousness, notice, it is the same God who lives on the mountain, again. Game. Real issues forth all reality, all life, as in the beginning, turned full circle. Save me, O Lord, by thy name. Our help rings in the name of the... Behind the steel blue eyes, something suggestive of suicide. Now turning, pauses, reach towards ascension. Despite that spiritual plateau, other way round, glory on high, lonely, frozen orb. I've just swallowed a terrific fistful of poison, reclaiming my dream, in which I let slip that I love her. Eyes pale of the sea, wind freshens paler doldrums, claims sea's ruler. Gaze southward over the tangerine-tinted bay, save for the smoke plume of the male, vague against the bright lime sky, as we sail intact to the moths.
Excellent read, Richard. You know what, on listening to you actually read it, two things came to mind beyond my pre-commenting. Firstly, that cyclical nature of transcendence and almost the yin and the yang with the negative and the positive and the everything magnet. Then also that it was a fantastic word poem. Almost in the vein of setting a scene like in a screenplay, especially when you get to be fiction here. Save me, O Lord, by thy name. Our help rings in the name of the behind the still blue eyes. Something suggestive of suicide now turning pauses. Beyond that, I really enjoyed it. Sometimes love to me feels like drinking the Kool-Aid or poison. And I like the cadence of the piece and the metaphor of the moth flying too close to the flame, so to speak. And that last stanza, which arcs like that moth in transcendence, was just superb.
Thanks so much, Neutron. Yeah, you know, these pieces from those two works, The Moths and Silent Echo even a little bit more, were done in that kind of first thought, best thought, Kerouac style. So they're very close to automatic writing. And it's tricky because it can quickly devolve into something non-poetic where you're just like spewing words. So the edit process is really what salvages the poetry and the kind of beauty of it. So it's a balancing act. That whole experience of those 2 years writing those books was one big balancing act. But you know, it was a lot of fun, and especially we hadn't done a Rembo contest, and he'd always been a favorite of mine, and this was a tribute poem to him. So it was nice to revisit it after all these years, 30 years now, right?
Wow. Now, Richard, I'm going to do something a little unconventional. You had some good news and a bit of an achievement that I saw elsewhere on social media today. Is it too cheeky to ask you to expand on that comment?
Yeah, so here's what happened. I had always shied away from self-publishing because I'm older than you. So back in my day, you really needed the whole establishment, the literary agents and the publishers to get your work out there. And I kind of played within the lines. And my hand was kind of forced this week because someone here locally who hosts, he's the owner of Neat Coffee Bar, he kind of put my name out to the library, which is doing a meet the author thing, as someone that they should be showcasing. And so I was like, well, I guess I do need to get a book out there so that they have something more than just a couple of things that have been published, you know, when I did this Loquat Literary Festival and won the grand prize in it, they created a book, and so I'm in that, but I felt like I needed something a little bit more meaty in the fiction world.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and published collection, and it spans all three decades, and it came to around, I don't know, maybe a little over 250 pages in a hard copy.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of meat to it. Yeah,
and I had a look, and it's available on Amazon, isn't it, for Kindle? So I'm going to pick up myself a copy of it after the show. Feel free to support his publication, and well done.
Thanks so much. Yeah, and I tried to do that. I did like hard copy if someone wants a nice quality copy, but also if you want just to get the poems, Kindle's a nice inexpensive alternative.
Yeah, the hard copy, I would seriously outlay it, but unfortunately the Amazon doesn't deliver to Australia that book, so we might have to figure something else out.
Ooh, I might need
yes.
to visit you over there.
Yeah, I want it hand-delivered.
Anyway, well, thanks so much for the plug. Yeah, it was a fun week, and I kind of felt like I had to do it because they're showcasing my work at the library. So.
Oh, that's excellent. That's so well done.
Yeah. So, okay, so where did you want to go next?
Look, I actually missed one for the Boulaire contest, so
okay.
I'll give this one a read. It's by Bill Schiller, and it's called Along the Course to Contradiction. The glorious consumption of potential, the exquisite emptiness of renewal, life is the first step on the road to death. Respiration is a type of escape for berated breath. The ferocity of a family as the bird that shat from air of sky. You may not like all you see if you dare peer too closely when looking at life with swollen eyes, the divine consequence from dust and a fool's rib bone, generations of what God hath wrought, taught how to stand alone. As a kid, I spent hours hiding beneath a bed among cobwebs and mattress springs. I realized what life could bring. Pedaling bike down a hill is easy on the legs. Rotating same spokes upward requires actual strength. None recall the struggle. Pushed out, the birth may become the most beautiful of babies, the mergers ruefully foul. I suspect Siddhartha Gautama was correct. So much of life makes no sense. Schools are not so much for learning. Institutions only teach what we need to forget. What horror. The inane hatred we are shoved into this world, told its great expression of heavenly love. I went to church as a child. My parents had hellacious fights on drive to the doors. At First Communion, I nearly vomited when genuflecting on altar floor. A priest told me I was blessed, then insisted I was condemned by an original sin. Why is it that just as one begins accepting life, there's realization of its end? I wept as I saw grandmother placed in the coffin with all of her biological worth. Today, with a friend or family, I more often smile. I now believe death is another type of birth. End poem.
Great read there, Neutron. Yeah, what a poem. I thought it was a strong philosophical and metaphysical offering on the nature of birth, death, and what happens in between, and very nicely crafted throughout. And this is one that we did medal as well. Very well deserved. Just very well put together piece by Bill. And what'd you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you there with the philosophical aspect or musings. And also I was drawn to the emotion in this poem. I like how the poet has highlighted his journey of spirituality from what I can proffer from the piece, from a Christian ideality in his youth to the principles of reincarnation in adulthood. My favorite part was a priest told me I was blessed, then insisted I was condemned by an original sin. Why is it that just as one begins accepting life, there's realization of its end? And I personally do like the open-ended nature of those questions, and I think that drills down to the philosophical aspect of this poem. Above that, the internal rhyme and the rhyming scheme added to the piece inspired by Baudelaire, and certainly addresses the contradictory aspects of childhood that he intimates in the author notes. Very well done.
Great comment. Okay, so now we definitely have covered all the Baudelaire carryovers.
All right. So next we've got, I'll just see whether there's, I'm just going to double check there's no SoundCloud because there were quite a few. No. So, Richard, if you could give Wordbird's poem a read.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is called Asunder by Wordbird. In the depths of hell, my soul did dwell. An accidental overdose, my final bell. In a cell of darkness, I did fell. Flames of agony consumed me whole, my breath labored, draining my soul. Alone in this place with no control, my spirit moaned a pitiful toll. Flames engulfed me wholly, sapping every breath. In that place of utter despair, I was all alone with death. Oh, God of truth, justice, and might, may our names live on in the grace of your loving light, for it is mercy alone that saves us from the darkness of our plight. And that was to prompt one, which is, let me rip out these few ghastly pages from my notebook of the damned, from the season in hell. And Neutron, what do you think?
I thought it was a very dark write on offer for the Rimbo prompt that you just mentioned there. It delivers an accessible message relating to the healing nature of spirituality. I was drawn to this section here, flames of agony consume me whole, my breath labored, draining my soul. Alone in this place with no control, my spirit moaned a pitiful toll. Well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was a great confessional brevity. I like the rhyming verse, which gave it a kind of eerie vibe. And I liked the hopeful arc of the poem's final stanza, where the poet, you know, gets the redemption from a higher power, saving us from the darkness of our play. So nice little glimmer of hope at the end. Okay. And with that, we can move on to our next one.
Okay, so I'll give this one a read, and then okay. I think it's difficult when there's certainly a lot more word count when there's just the two of you on the show. I thought we could just take turns. So this is a poem by If You're Ab. He has graced us with a poem. It doesn't happen very often, but he's certainly delivered. And it's called If They Ask Who's Next, I'll Say You Are. The great thing about entering my eighth decade is that I get the best of both worlds. I still remember tape decks and Orange Aid and Kool-Aid. Plus, I get the bennies of serious radio hits that lock and pop with my rubber arms, that whip the juices up the blood-brain barrier reef of just the right school of rockfish who swim the blues and sponge bathe my coral reefer madness. So anywho, I'm heading to the gym alone yesterday and won't get fooled again pops on, and I'm waiting for a left arrow and I crank it up because I can, putting my left arm out drumming on the roof of my car because I'm 19 again. Cranked on maximum volume like the spiders from Mars told me to, and then pull into the LA fitness garage like a ghetto master blast, pounding like Ezra on T.S. Eliot's Nog. You dig? And young streamlined slip kids see an old fart who feels half their age cut a seated dance groove next to Daltrey Scream or Moon's drumsticks or Entwistle's bass lines or Townshend's electric piano / synth bridge. 2:11 solo quarter of 8:43. That gives no quarter to candy ass bands and tosses that chum overboard for a feeding frenzy finish. The best I ever had in a parking lot with the engine off, music still on, fit at last for the 22 model Altima, with only endorphin fins to the left and a serotonin finish to the right, keeping this land shark company. End poem.
Nice job on the read there, Neutron. And that was to the prompt, Genius is the Recovery of Childhood at Will. And I have to say, without even looking at what I wrote, that Steve, F. Abs, has this gift. And I think whenever I meet a writer whose gifts are kind of like 180 degrees from mine, it especially kind of like entices me and excites me. And he has this kind of authentic conversational tone to his work that's really refreshing, because it's in, you know, like conversation, and it's just really different than the way I write, and it has an authenticity, like, you know, it's like real life conversation with the boring bits taken out. And he has that gift, and it comes through in all his work, but especially in this one. And you know, I could go through the whole thing, but you really get the feel of how he spoke when he was a teenager, probably, you know, in this other era. And I'm guessing that he's somewhere around my age, growing up, as I like to call it, in the aftermath of the 60s, you know, that cultural aftermath that That was the 70s. And now I'm going to read what I wrote, which was that I found it truly a poem of nostalgia, fun and humor, chock full of pop cultural nods of yesteryear and today, nicely crafted. And Neutron, your thoughts?
You know, reading it, it came like on second, like actually reading it aloud, it felt almost like a stream of consciousness. And I love the way that he italicized part of the poem so that when you read it, you really hit the words correctly. And I just thought it was a great interpretation of the prompt you mentioned, genius is the recovery of childhood at will. It also has that beat poetry vibe to it. And I really love how Steve has intermingled the metaphors. And yes, we are only as old as we feel, and that certainly shone through in this poem. If I'm honest, it was hard to select a favorite part or dissect it, because I think as a whole it was a very strong offering, and it just had superb flow to it. And I just have to say thank you, Steve, for penning for the show. Well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, and where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I've got a poem by After the Fire, if you could give that a read.
Okay. Yep, here it is. Okay, it's by After the Fire, and it's called Hell. Believers say that hell's awaiting me because their faith is something I don't share. I find it odd these cultists cannot see. If hell exists, then I'm already there. I know the pain of living all too well. Hell's minions nightly whisper in my ear. My body has become a soulless shell. And in my dreams, I hear the demons cheer. I feel the raging fire of loneliness, the torture of a fool who's loved in vain. It's taken all the will that I possess to deal with life and all its toil and pain. So if a lake of fire awaits my soul, though it may be quite painful and perverse, my demons are already in control, and certainly hell can't be any worse. The poem. All right, and that is inspired by the quote, I believe that I am in hell, therefore I am there. And your thoughts on this one, Neutron?
Well, that is a great riffing with the prompt, as you would say, Richard, but I think it above that, it has this lived experience that seems to be interwoven into the poem itself. And it's quite emotional. It dances between very strong and dark imagery and this forlorn, almost gut punch of sorrow and loneliness. And it can be hell. I think everyone, although they may not admit it, has felt the loneliness of modern living, and he's really captured that here. Great offering for the rainbow prompt.
Yeah, absolutely great comment. I really liked the whole composition. The rhyming scheme was impeccable and highly philosophical poem too, you know, that he takes that trope of afterlife and hell, and it's so familiar to us. It even transcends any specific ethnicity or culture, and you can almost say it's like a Jungian archetype. And he shows that its mythic quality is metaphor for what we're experiencing right here and now. It's a very well-reasoned philosophical argument. And absolutely a great riffing off of the Rimbaud prompt. And what did I write? You show through rhymes how our interior mental hell mirrors the Judeo-Christian biblical accounts. And it was a strong take on the prompt, one that intuitively rang true for me. Nicely done. Okay. And with that, we're ready for the next one.
Okay, so I just saw Laurent on the board. I'm not sure if he's called in, but I just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
let's see. Here he is. Let's bring him on. Hey, Laurent.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
Very well.
wonderful to have you joining us for another episode of 19th century French poetry.
I had a piece that I had thought about submitting for tonight's show, but I fell asleep. Just woke up and looked at the time and went, my, oh, my. So,
yeah, you know.
I don't know if you got room for it or anything else.
Sure, bring it on. I intuitively felt that this was going to be another good match for you. Just, you know, we had such a great time a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. And Rimbaud is so appealing, but I really couldn't find any voice that pleased me. So you're going to get the second best effort.
Okay. Well, it's great having you join us. So let me round it out. I don't know if you had a chance to hear After the Fire on Hell.
Well, not here, but I did skim it. I did read it quickly. And it's pretty straightforward. Hell, I feel the raging fire of loneliness, the torture of a fool who's lived in vain, taking all the will that I possess to deal with life and all the toil and pain. And if that isn't a certain kind of hell that one finds on, then I don't know what is. Hell on earth is probably more terrible than the mythical hell, whose existence is questionable. So if a lake of fire awaits my soul, certainly hell can't be any worse than what I'm in right now.
Nice. Okay, so Neutron, great comment, by the way. Neutron, I saw that you put our next piece up.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Laurent wants to give it a read as our one and only caller.
And let me just say for the record that that's a crying shame. But I choose to prefer to think that the level of poetry is such that there are very few intellects up to the challenge of this show. All right.
You know, it was weird because the contest filled up so quick, ridiculously quick. So I thought it was real popular, and yet here's Neutron and I, and now obviously you've joined.
Well, you know, there's a difference between appreciating a subject and being very willing to write for it, but being a little intimidated by the subject to actually have to talk about it in public, so to speak.
Mm. That's true.
Very insightful.
All right, so we have Joe Braz with Childhood Memories. Okay. These woods where once I shoveled snow banks the driveway down below. 8 times higher, fingers numb. Brothers in black boots who zippered up come. Smelt like ozone, frozen clothesline. Fresh, fresher outside, a fresco sunshine. Backyard plates, strewn honey butter. Chinese elm ditches the gutter. Sand dunes melt off, ponds like lakes. Fish shanty ice, spring sun bakes. Over the ice, truck tires tread. Road, auger hole, April bottom dead. Whistle the pines, I know not, whisking needles, sweet forest watch, heard from miles over eon's ribs, lined up coarsely, squirrels' cribs, footfall, nightfall, eeny eye, nay, over, balls, fall, umbrella, roll, clover, cover, hepatum, lucidum, lick wolves' eyes, moon bestows trickeries and lies. Ha, 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 oh, says of satin, who gluts more, hell's a baiton, who wants to know who is the winner, the loser. End poem.
Nicely done, Laurent. Great read. I thought this was very well crafted throughout the rhymes, the surreal, dreamlike recounting of childhood memories. All gave it an eerie vibe that was quite satisfying and good storytelling as well. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this poem in the pre-reading, but hearing Laurent read it just gave it that extra level, particularly the laugh that had me giggling out loud on mute. So the rhyming scheme had interesting word selections, and the onomatopoeia punctured the poem like the Chinese elm extruding from the gutters. On a side note, the author note and the direction that the poet took the poem in eliciting childhood memories was very insightful. I'll just read it here quickly. It was inspired somewhat by sensation, which brought memories of childhood home, mostly winter. Rimbaud's lifestyle in general urged me to write childhood memories, especially since his life was so short. He never really had the opportunity to become a responsible adult. Very well done, Joe.
Absolutely, great comment. And also, not only was his life short, but he stopped writing poetry even before his short life ended. He only wrote for a couple of years, which was really just amazing considering how talented he was. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, the I'll skip the praise of the rhyming scheme and the phrasing because it's quite good, as noted by Neutron. He always gives such great comments. And I'm you know, it's a fairly prosaic scene, a child shoveling snow in winter. And the descriptions are rather interesting. But then, for some reason, I just felt like it turned dark. Whistle the pines, they know not, whisking needles, sweet forest rot. And then you get Eon's ribs and apidum lucidum, which is Latin for I don't know what. Lick wolves' eyes, moon bestows trickery and lies. Perhaps it's some kind of a covering over the eyes. And moves into Satan, almost out of nowhere. Hell is a baiton. I'm looking backwards for the clue that I know I'm missing that lets me know that Satan is coming, but can't find it, but I'm fascinated by the end. Who wants to know who is the winner, the loser? Very interesting ending. Very complex poem, actually.
Absolutely, yeah, and I cheated, by the way. I looked up what Captum Lucidum is. It's that film that some animals have underneath their eyes. Yes, like,
oh, the nicotinic membrane.
Yes, yes.
Like a crocodile.
Right.
Or a chameleon.
Right. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, so Neutron. Where would you like to go?
Okay, we have a poem by Eric Svensson, and I'm just double-checking. I don't believe there's a SoundCloud, so Richard, if you could read that, it would be great.
Yeah, this was the confusion when we were preparing for the show, and you said there's a SoundCloud because I looked at this poem. I forgot that he had a carryover. Okay, so this one doesn't have a SoundCloud. It's by Eric Svensson. It's called Death's Denouement's Dance. Danish settler, grandpa, planted four oaks. Druid sentinels rooted around sprawling homestead. stalwart, sturdy kingdoms wherein Papa and his 8 siblings found rest and respite, explored their rising sap. Druid babies thrived, imbibed hardships of settler life. Death denouement dance, shaded by regal oaks. Baton passed on to Papa. 7 druid babies saw the light. Joy, fun, and seasons in the sun. Hot summer druid sentinels spread their limbs further. Emerald green leaves whispered endearment. On full moon nights, wise owls counseled. Youngest druid of 7 oft sought shelter within the oak tree citadel. Book in hand, up the rope ladder rungs. Emerald green oak leaves murmured ring years. Still unsung, blue satellite dish eyes delved mysteries of the universe. Fluorescent lime green caterpillars presented horns. Death denouement dance came for Papa too. Mahogany coffin rested beneath stalwart sentinel limbs. Creature spoke words of wisdom, but sentinel, silent sentinel umbrella conveyed so much more. Settler blood embraces birth and death, dapper strides, dedicated earth bondsmen and women. Under auspices of wise oak tree sentinels, 7th druid boy dreamt 1,000 dreams. Grandpa's tomes opened vast vistas. Dog-eared Christian Hans Anderson stashed in gnarled oak branch. Wise owl stenographers who hooted. Recorded a bard was sprung. Horned lime green caterpillars nodded encouragement on scribbled poems. When death's denouement dances beneath those endearing oak limbs again, shelters a quiet, restful mahogany coffin. Familial hearts will burn. Settler blood celebrates a golden green mile's well-earned rest. For the loyal branch torn off, bard will caterpillar rebirth poem. Pastor will speak. Comfort with words of wisdom, while silent, druid sentinel whispers about unsung ring years still to come. End of poem. And Laurent, if we could start with you.
Yeah, that read was captivating. I thought I could hear emotion in your voice as it came to the end of it, because I felt emotion myself as well. What a wonderful way for telling the story. The Danish settler, Grandpa, planted 4 oaks. And I do love oak trees. And they're used as a metaphor for the years spent, the lives lived, for the magic that exists, for watches over life and death. Embraced by druid boys who climb the trees, read dog-eared Christian Hans Andersen, Hans Christian Andersen, which they stash in gnarled oak branches, and he calls them, or rather, he mentions wise owl stenographers who hooted, recording bard was sprung. I love the line on the caterpillar, which I can't find, which is a shame, but it was good. At any rate, it left me with a sense of sadness. I'm not quite sure why. The silent druid sentinel whispers about unsung ring years still to come, speaking to the things they observe over the long years. I contribute the layers to the trees. Just, I thought it was a stunning piece.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I felt the sadness too, especially when I read it aloud just now. I thought the whole thing was really strong, especially that ending, while silent druid sentinel whispers about unsung ring years still to come. Truly a beautiful piece. The contrast of the ancestral tree lineages plays out so well in this near mythic poem. Very well done. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, on the second read, the oak tree, and especially after listening to Laurent's comment, it's almost the spirituality of the oak tree or the tree of life that is overlooking generations of settlers in this very heartfelt poem. And I think it has Eric's characteristic word choices, but I also felt the forlorn quality of one hoping for a long life, but equally awaiting that final resting place when the time comes. It hit harder than expected, because I think the performative value of Eric's poetry, whether he's reading it or Richard in this case, really shines through when it's read aloud. So very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, so where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I have a poem by Colab. I'll read this and then I'll get Laurent up next. So this is called The Mowat and Shandon Balloon. We are gifted, so we think, the first breath that we breathe. We swim or else we sink. So swim it shall be till we crawl out of the sea, spitting out brackish water and inhale the gift of life. Off we are on a dream-filled illusion, or is it just a poison present that Maya handed to us in a golden chalice? So be it, and take what you get and drink it. Grab the ball and start bouncing it right into the loop. Ace it. Ain't it an accident they couldn't fix? Then they expect you to be grateful for it, but why? Why does it pain me so to not know what others know, the cozy nest peopled with family and friends, a cooperation of crafting the banal ascent towards the light? But why? Why does it pain me so when beside me he breathes spite and schadenfreude, a dark empath, the deep guttural guffaw of the baleful joker in a laughing fit? Still I continue to wade through the muck. I try to make my own luck. Not all of us were fed with a golden spoon, so we crawl and trudge with leaden foot, and little by little we get lighter and lighter with experience. And we shed the toxic extra weight, the green envy, the burning bright of anger and the red light of desire, as we slowly take off, held by the slender string of the balloon, and off to a higher perspective where nothing else matters but the sense of weightlessness, where existence is only a matter of perception. The bubbles travel into my head. I'm one with them, floating with the balloon just to get a good glimpse of the moon. End poem.
Great read there, Neutron. And I thought this was a wonderful tribute to Rimbaud's work, to the drunken champagne bubbles of our lives ascending towards lunar light. I thought it was a wonderful, somewhat surreal poem, and had a great kind of feel of Rimbaud, you know, the drunken thing reminding us of the drunken boat. And very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is quite the piece by Colab. The first half of it seems to explain how we got to where we are. The pain that is felt when he realizes that others may not, well, wait a second, where is it? Why does it pain me so to not know what others know? The cozy nest, people with family and friends, a cooperation of crafting the vernal ascent towards the light. You know, to not have that. And then there's a good deal of philosophy in the second part. I mean, there are homespun aphorisms. I try to make my own luck. Not all of us are fed with a golden spoon. We crawl and trudge with leaden feet. Little by little, we get lighter and lighter with experience. You know, I think we all learn to relax after a while. And we tend to soften our views on certain things. And we do change. A wonderful piece, as usual, from Colab.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, just a beautiful piece of poetry. Good, and great explanation and insights. And Neutron, I'll give you final word.
Particularly when I was reading it, the piece and the cadence were at the forefront of this poem. But also, as Laurent identified, the philosophical musings, which I feel highly relatable to poets and listeners alike. I was actually drawn to exactly the same second section that you mentioned there, so I'm not going to comment again on it, Laurent, but I just have to say I absolutely love how Colab has used the principles of the evolution of humans from amoeba as an extended metaphor throughout the poem. It was very nicely penned.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, and where would you like to go next?
Laurent, I've got your poem up when you're ready.
All right, thank you. This is actually a collaboration with Irish Rose, and it's called Black Dog. Black Dog stalks within, gnaws at his chain, sparking his teeth of flint. A grim twilight rushes in, settling. One day, soon perhaps, he will sever the links that bind, consuming me. My pain, the lure, the drawing scent, which tempts his blood eyes closer to the bead within. Eager for the despair which marinates me, cooking over a low flame, simmering my loneliness, thickening bubbles, releasing seductive aroma, despondent, dejected, a perfume sending his lips shivering, curling, hungry, trembling muscles taut over faceted teeth, that worries so at his bonds, steel chains slowly eroded, straining to be released. Hellish hound, such a bellicose beast, consuming sinew and bone, bred to the raw, driven by need, insensate and unredeemed, pools of saliva aggregating, bubbling, steaming, acid at his feet, waiting to dissolve meager leavings, fragments that in the past survived the rip and rend of his dark maw, so little of me remaining. Reduced to a shadowed, aching walk, not without hope, for I have forgiven myself. End poem.
Wonderful read, and a wonderful poem there, Laurent. I see this is another collaboration with Irish Rose. I read one of yours, I want to say maybe a couple of weeks ago, that was also a collaboration. So you guys are on a roll, and amazing chemistry. You obviously have a good feel for each other's work and complement each other's style to the level that the collaboration is seamless. I can't really tell, like, which are your lines, which are her lines, which is exactly how it should be, I think, when a collaboration is being done. And wonderful extended metaphor. So I'm going to say normally I do read these beforehand. So I'm just kind of riffing top of my head. But it seems like the black dog could be a metaphor for Rimbaud himself. The way the existential angst and pain, you know, that marked his existence, his short life. but I don't want to overstep. But at any rate, a wonderful poem. Very well done.
Thank you, Richard.
Absolutely. And Neutron, your thoughts?
You stole half my comment, Richard. I was going to say seamless. I have to agree with you there. I really could not tell whose lines were whom. In Australia, and I don't know if this was the intended meaning, but the black dog is synonymous with depression and the pain that it causes. So, yeah. So, I really thought this was an apt description. Having gone through episodes of depression in the past, you know, it stalks within. And then you've got the consuming nature of depression and that eagerness for despair. And then you get further down and it becomes the steel chain slowly erodes, straining to be released, and it's a hellish hound, and it takes no prisoners. It strips you of everything that you hold dear in your life, and it's very difficult to snap out of it, if that's even possible. Like, I had to go on medication to get past it initially. And I think this ending couplet, reduced to a shadowed, aching walk, not without hope, for I have forgiven myself. You know, like, I just feel like when you're in that depressive state, there is a level of guilt that's attached to it that you just can't snap out of it. And I think... you should keep doing collabs with Irish Rose, because clearly they're working. Very well done.
Thank you. She seems to see what I see, and that helps immensely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the second one that I've read between you guys, and they're both really beautiful. And, I like that ending, too, for I have forgiven myself, because, you know, one of the main techniques that I myself use, along with just gratitude, connecting with something greater than myself, being in nature. There's a couple of them that seem to help, but self-forgiveness, letting myself off the hook, is a nice one. So very well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go?
Okay, so Richard, if you can read Ken Smith's poem, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, and forgive me, I don't speak French, but La Belle Dame sans Merci by Ken Smith. She's a Rimbaud, comes in colors everywhere. She combs her hair in long, dark braids of dangling rope to choke naive lovers, doomed, hanged men, remove their shirts of skin, their bellies gone, a crow feather, and a cracked brain. They long to see her once again. They squirm and kick, a happy dance, gallows for a stage, in groan cries of laughter. How could they know what would come after? End of poem. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Boy, this is one of those poems that hits you hard. La Belle Dame sans Merci, beautiful woman, beautiful lady without thanks. I think how it translates. And who is that beautiful woman? She combs her hair in long dark braids, dangling rope to choke naive lovers. Doomed hanged men remove their shirts of skin. How strong is that? And then the introduction of the crow, a crow feather, rather, on a cracked brain. The happy dance, the black gals for a stage, is perhaps life, their association with her. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a little abstract, perhaps. Extremely interesting. The picture is throwing me off completely. I'm just afraid of misinterpreting it. I think I will take a sideways step and listen to what you guys have to say about it.
Great comment. I could be wrong, but I think that it's kind of ambiguous. The dangling rope to choke naive lovers, doomed hangmen, remove their shirts of skin. A happy dance, the black gallows for a stage, all suggest that it could be that somebody is hanging these people, or it could be suicide. And I think it's intentionally ambiguous. But, of course, that's just my interpretation. And either way, it is a powerful poem of darkness. And I like the nod to the stones as well, which read almost like a preface and preamble to the poem, even though it was part of the body. And just very well done.
I really wonder whether or not D is actually death, because it would make sense. She combs her hair in long, dark braids of dangling rope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that to be true, but perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, it's based on Rimbaud's poem, Dance of the Hanged Man, so that's in there, too.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, that makes sense, then.
Yeah. So, and Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think as well, I'm just having a read of the first line of the author note. It's also made reference to, O witches, O misery, O hatred, my treasure's been turned over to you from a season in hell. And it makes me wonder whether it's actually referring to that horrible time in history with the witch hanging.
Mm.
You know, you had
mm-hmm.
to prove, in effect, that through death, that you were not a witch. And it was a very bleak poem on offer. The way that the poet has incorporated lyricism sparingly from the Rolling Stones and then crafted a great poem, riffing with the prompt but not mimicking Rimbaud, a healthy respect and observational tone on those doomed to the gallows. And I was drawn to the same section as you, Laurent. There, a belly's gone, a crow feather on a cracked brain. They long to see her once again. They squirm and kick. How would they know what comes next? Indeed, very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I like that we all had different kind of takes on it, which is, you know, the beauty of poetry. And with that, we are ready for our next one. Neutron, where would you like to go?
Okay, so I have. I'm just checking. No SoundCloud. I've forgotten who's next. So I'll give this a read, and then we'll
okay.
resume the order. So Rimbaud, cursed blood. O witches, O hatred, my treasure's been turned all over to you, and my paper's been burned. O comfort, O mercy, your faithlessness sucks like woodworms consuming all my unread books. O teachers, O mentors, why aren't you concerned? From all your lessons you still haven't learned. O witches, O hatred, my treasure's been turned all into cut flowers whose rot soon discerned. In vases of ashes you drew from the tap, cremated from creatures you caught in your trap. My face like a gargoyle is twisted to gurn from all of your lessons you still haven't learned. O witches, O hatred, my treasure's been turned into a thick butter by seasickness churned, who spread over everything appetite kills, till only destruction is left for our thrills. The planet from parasites hasn't been wormed. From all of your lessons, you still haven't learned. End poem.
Great read there, Neutron. Actually, you know, the funny thing was that I read this before the show, and I read it aloud, and I did catch the lyricism, the rhyming verse, but hearing you read it just now on the air, it really, especially that last line and the first line, the repetitions, the refrains, it really is quite haunting. And I love the rhyming verse, gave it an eerie, macabre, Edgar Allan Poe feel. I also like the pun, you know, Rambo, cursed blood, first blood, which when we were talking, Pam, my wife and I, before the show, you know, I mentioned Rambo as the poet, and she made some Rambo joke, and then I mentioned this poem, referencing in the title that same joke, so nice. And Laurent, your thoughts?
It seems to me an indictment of teachers to a certain extent. Oh, teachers or mentors, why aren't you concerned from all of your lessons you still haven't learned? And what is it that they haven't learned? Do they think that automatically they can draw from the tap created from creatures you caught in your trap? My face like a gargoyle's twist of gum from all of your lessons you still haven't learned. Again, the indictment that they have not learned a lesson from life. Perhaps the things that are his treasures have been scorned or not used, or they have not been faithful to what they were faithful to in the past. There's a line, oh comfort, oh mercy, your faithfulness sucks, like woodworms consuming all my unread books. The unread books are intentions, but the intentions have been consumed, which is interesting, as is the poem. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Great comment there, Laurent. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Yeah, I was particularly impressed with the rhyming scheme, especially with reading it. The poet had very interesting word selections with a cohesive write, with the arc, for me, pointing toward our lack of concern for the environment globally. That's why when I was reading, oh, teachers, oh, mentors, why aren't you concerned from all of your lessons you still haven't learned? That was what stuck out to me, because it seems to be a generational lesson, especially with the impacts of climate change currently. It's acutely under the wing of the younger generation, but as a general rule, and I say general rule because there are clearly a growing number of voices raising their concern about climate change, that the older generations aren't necessarily going to be here to deal with the aftermath of the Industrial Revolution. So I thought it was a really interesting poem, and riffs with Rimbo quite well.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. Yeah. Okay, so where would you like to go next?
One moment, I'm just bringing up poem. Here we go. And I'll just double check, there may be a SoundCloud. Yes, there is, the second SoundCloud for S-Sharp, Finding My Voice.
Okay. Well, I thought you put up this Evan Fowler poem too. Okay, so let's do the SoundCloud, right?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, got it. No worries.
Finding my voice, I cut life into words with an X-Acto knife. Blood screams from my arm. Sound and sight stymied, a hatred of something I have no control over. I have control over nothing. I exhale pain like dark black smoke. Fires rage inside me, burn uncontrolled. Voice feeble as day to dusk. cracks develop and words spilling out as mumbles. Silence wins again. I chop desperation into 1,000 pieces, a puzzle I will never put together. But I do glue the pieces in a strange montage resembling a typed ransom note that the kidnapper creates to hide his identity. No one will know it is really me. I gag myself, let not my hatred become yours. I have learned fear is a blank slate. Loss is a wall with no pictures. Death is an empty grave. Yet the pen charges forth to center stage. The blank page becomes a soliloquy. Pain, unutterable, finds voice. I hang pictures on the wall. Tears flow. Emptiness subsides. I hear you singing somewhere in the back of my mind. Kneeling beside your grave, I plant flowers. The world is whirling again.
Wow. Thank you for the SoundCloud, Scott. What an amazing piece. And this was written to prompt 8. So prompt 8 is, I turn silences and nights into words. What was unutterable, I wrote down. I made the whirling world stand still. And this was a wonderful riffing off of that prompt. I thought it was a strong confessional poem full of pain and pathos. It rings with authenticity, the voice of desolation. Grieving losses can make it all seem overwhelming and underlines our powerlessness over people, places, circumstances. And Scott turns pain into poetry. And I felt that we as readers are enriched therein. And especially rich, I thought, was that, where was it? Was this one part? Right. I have learned fear is a blank slate. Loss is a wall with no pictures. Death is an empty grave, yet the pen charges forth to center stage. The blank page becomes a soliloquy. Just beautiful poetry. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was drawn to the same section. It's so very powerful. And after losing my best mate a couple of years ago, I just remember exactly that the pen charges forth to center stage and the blank page becomes the soliloquy. What a gut punch of a poem. Strong, grounded, even visceral imagery. And I felt this one acutely and almost an homage to Loss. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that line, homage to Loss. That's great. Here's a person who has trouble writing about the pain that she's feeling, and cutting life into words with an X-Acto knife, blood screams from my arm, sound and sight stymied. You know, the hatred of something I have no control over. I have control over nothing. We can feel so helpless in times of sorrow, and we want to express ourselves. But what is in us is pain that we can't translate into words, into the things that we want to say. Silence wins the end, but desperation allows us to win the day ultimately, even if we have to hide what is written and who wrote it. I gag myself, let not my hatred become yours. The things that upset her that she's ready to blame is a hatred that she doesn't want to share with anyone else. The pen being what it is, it finds a voice. She does try and keep it to herself. I hang pictures on the wall, tears flow, emptiness subsides. I hear you singing somewhere in the back of my mind. Just being able to write about it kind of offers her a sense of closure, a sense of fulfillment, perhaps. Now that she can even think about it, the world is whirling again. Life continues. Poem has depth, has emotion. Very well written.
Excellent comment. Okay, Neutron, so I see we have that other poem up.
Yes, I got a bit ahead of myself with the posting and forgot I did it. So we have Evan Fowler's poem up next. And Laurent, if you can read that, it would be great.
All right. Evan Fowler, there we go. Rambo, Evan Fowler. My oversized hands, able to grasp one trunk, two trunks, wanted to tear open each present under the tree, especially those not meant for me, and haul them off far as I could bear to walk and exult in them to my last gasp. But none would fit in my stupid room or fit in my stupid peasant life. What could I do but call on a few at once, get drunk, and yawn my way to Paris, that husband-wife? And then Paris turned into the tomb of magic dreams, couldn't bear the sight of happy people managing to do what they wanted, yet survive. Poured life into dreams of being alive, they all died. Still, I tunneled through that dark to kiss their bodies every night. World, I'm going to run away again, even from you, into new lands that I won't weaken. You and I are badly fit, and not until I die can we admit it. My big hands that polish jewels will turn someday into French dirt that the hands of peasants should. You were in all ways not enough for me. Couldn't ever be so enough for you, the cradle. Though you wanted to, I lift my footsteps from the road and flee so far that words won't do us any good. And I do not want you to mourn one second for me. Just shut up about all that. Remember, my stupid poetry is ash in my mouth. I learned to see and learned I could do better without sight. A curse on being born. And if at my simple grave you weep, my long suffering, let me sleep. I don't care what you have to say. My skull will be packed with mud then anyway. I die despising every gift I had. I'm glad I was sad. End quote.
What a powerful read there, Laurent. Thanks so much for that. This one was just great. I thought it was a wonderful first-person singular of Rambo. It rings with truth and authenticity of sad brilliance, putting down the pen. Remember, my stupid poetry is ash in my mouth. Indeed. And I thought this was just really nicely crafted throughout. I think I summed it up for myself with that single word, authenticity. It just felt authentic, like, you know, like a little peek into the mind of Rambo. Very nicely done. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was particularly impressed with
the authenticity, as you mentioned there. I was drawn to this section here. My big hands that polish jewels will turn someday into French dirt the hands of peasants should. You were always not enough for me. I couldn't ever be still enough for you to cradle, though you wanted to. There's just it's quite epic, the imagery, you know, that you spend your life either dreaming or dealing with the humdrum of the existence of life. And then you go further down and he curses being born because there's that dichotomy. Do you do what you dream of, or do you succumb to the death of dreaming and, in essence, die yourself a thousand deaths? Very, very well done. Definitely a forlorn quality to this poem.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. Yeah. And Laurent, I'll give you a final word. What'd you think?
An impressive poem. It exhibits a kind of greed, if you will, the wanting of the presents, the gifts. Perhaps these are personality traits that a person wanted but does not have. They won't fit in my stupid room or fit in my stupid peasant life. Who knows what that is, culture, breeding, intelligence, I don't know. But my oversized hands, the French dirt, self-identification perhaps with the kind of basic person that he finds himself to be, and the things that he doesn't have, the traits that he doesn't have, they make him sad, but by fleeing, he flees that sadness, perhaps in France. I'll lift my footsteps from the road and flee so far that words won't do us any good, not being able to say what he wishes to say. He won't even try. And perhaps decides to just give it all up and die. And in so doing, does not want anyone to mourn one second for me. Anything I wrote in the past now is ash in my mouth. Hate it. And being able to finally see. Yeah, he learns that it's better not to.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. And amazingly, that brings us to the close of another show. So I want to thank you so much for joining us, Laurent. And I'm so glad that you are back and on the mend, Neutron. It was
yes.
a pleasure working together again. And what an amazing array of poetry. I want to shout out special thanks to Fill My Eyes for doing all the work in the background as our admin of the group. And final thanks, as always, goes to the people that write for our shows every 2 weeks. Without you guys, there is no show. So we are sincerely appreciative of your efforts. And join Pam Ray in a half an hour. She's got a show coming up. Always quality work. And we are out of time. Thanks so much. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks.
Night.
Bye.
Night.